Whoa, did you hear that? That car must have been flying by at 100 miles an hour. Hey, stupid, quit looking at the car. Didn't you have a podcast to make?
Yeah, you're right. But why are you here, Stewie?
Oh, I'm here because you want to include other voices in your podcast. And because I'm your best voice you can do. It will seem, I guess, that you have only one voice that you can do, and it will seem more interesting.
So, what is this? Is this supposed to be a comedy podcast or a car podcast?
You fool! Your opening line was about a car. What do you think?
Alright, Stewie. Jeez Louise, can you chill out a little bit?
No, I won't.
Your 3-year-old energy is just really cramping my style here. Well, time to get on to the news, because otherwise Stewie won't shut up.
Oh, you think you're so funny.
Yeah, I am actually. Bye-bye.
Damn you!
Okay. Well, now that Stewie's gone, here's the news. Toyota is making a quote-unquote new Land Cruiser for humanitarian efforts, so unfortunately for us civilians, we can't buy one. But what we can buy in the near future, hopefully, is a cheap electric sports car from Nissan aimed for people in their early 20s. And for those who maybe don't want a pickup truck, a rugged pickup truck, but one that's capable enough, Toyota is hopefully making a electric pickup truck that would fight the Ford Maverick, but it doesn't have the green light for production. Although, Toyota North America is pushing for it. And then, last article, Stellantis wants to reopen their Belvedere factory in Belvedere, Illinois, to build a mid-sized truck. Woohoo! More mid-sized stuff that are probably aimed at people in their 20s.
Forgot where the Belvedere factory is. Oh, it's in Illinois. Sweet! Midwestern manufacturing.
Unfortunately, it's in Illinois. Sorry. Every time I say Illinois, I almost puke. That's a Wisconsin joke. So, getting into it, the Toyota Land Cruiser, that's quote-unquote new for humanitarian efforts. I should add that all these articles have been found on MotorOne.com. Yes, I should be looking at different sources, but it's worth, like, kind of getting a new... it's worth trying to find it all in place, so then it makes it a little bit easier to cite them. So, these... These new Toyota Land Cruisers, their looks are based on the classic Land Cruiser, which, I think the 70 series, which is most commonly found in Australia, and certain European, Middle Eastern, and certain European countries, which are really, they're actually pretty cool to see. Never seen one in real life, but hopefully that happens at some point. They may look classic, but they do have some modern amenities. But they're being sold by Toyota Gibraltar Stock Holdings, which is a modification and distribution of Toyota fleet vehicles that sell the SUVs to humanitarian or aid organizations exclusively. And most of them are found in the most extreme parts of the globe, mainly like most like desert areas. That's why you see them a lot in Africa. Where else? The Middle East. They're very common in both those places. Currently it is the wagon version, which has seating for 10. So, it's pretty cool. Albeit it's not going to be reclining seats and luxurious amenities because they're bench seats that are folded that you would fold down in the back, so they fold up on the sides, and then once you need that room, you flip it down, and then people are sitting with their knees facing each other, so hopefully they don't get into a crash. I mean, hopefully they don't get sideswiped or T-boned. Otherwise, it's going to be knees show. It's going to be a lot of knee to knee, just shh. But they are, they have automatic high beam lights, so that's pretty good. That's a modern amenity. A digital gauge cluster, as opposed to analog, like we'd find in some Land Cruisers, albeit we don't really get those in the U.S. A touchscreen. Or a touchscreen. My apologies. A very modern amenity that's standard in almost any car at this point. And then it has those are all gone. Those amenities are not there, but it does have Toyota's active traction control, or A-Track, for like off-roading and all of that. Manual locking hubs, which means the, like, when the wheels are under load, one starts spinning, but when you lock the hubs, both start to spin. And then, it has mostly the, it has white paint and a black snorkel, for the engine, which is pretty cool. It has a, 2.8-liter four-cylinder diesel engine, which is coupled to a 6-speed automatic transmission. It has the, its fuel economy is up by 30% from the prior iteration of the engine. 201 horsepower, and the emissions are down by 30%, which means it meets the Euro 4 emissions, Euro 4 emissions standards. I can't say certain words. And yeah, there's not too much else to say about this. I mean, they'll start delivering in March, I believe, March of next year it will start. They're trying to implement certain things like, dual batteries, larger alternators, which help, like, charge the battery and everything, and systems that run off engine power, like refrigeration, like transporting vaccines that would probably be used by the, WHO, or, International Red Cross, and, for that delivery, the United Nations will be among the first customers with a sizable fleet order, which means they'll probably end up being the first ones to get the new Land Cruiser, which is pretty cool. Good to know that the this long-lasting Toyota truck, SUV, has is helping the way to the world. So, that is the Toyota Land Cruiser. Up next is the, that Nissan cheap electric sports car that is aimed for people in their early 20s. Woohoo! Really hoping to get one. Now I have an ambition. Now I can try and save up for that. Even though it's probably going to be another, 5 or 6 years until that happens. So last time Nissan unveiled the concept called the IDX, which is like a concept of an entry level sports car with a performance version called the Nismo, that was like, they were boasting like, oh yeah, I think we're gonna put this in production. No, it didn't. It hasn't come into production at all. So, but there's a small glimmer of hope as a statement by Ivan Espinoza, who's the product planning boss for Nissan, had said in an interview with Top Gear magazine that depending upon which point in time you take, we've always had the GTR, the main like flagship like Halo sports car, or sorry, supercar. We've always had a Z, their Nissan Z, kind of entry level ish sports car. Their baby GTR, I guess. And then they've had a entry level car that's like a performance car, that they lack at the moment. So, it's reported that hopefully that they're gonna bring it back as, it's kind of gonna hopefully be meant to lure in, people of my age, 20 and up, or at least 21 and up, depending upon, unless those kids have a lot of money. But an entry-level sports car is kind of difficult with today's market because despite Nissan wanting to launch an electric rival for the Toyota GR86 / Subaru BRZ and the Mazda Miata, or MX-5 Miata, it has to cost less than the cheapest Nissan Z or 400Z, depending on who you ask, which starts at $43,305. So it's very, it's going to be difficult. And apparently it's a show, according to Motor One, the writer or the author of the article writes, a sub $40,000 electric sports car seems like a pipe dream for now, considering even the cheapest GR86 is $30,000 nowadays. Toyota GR86. Their domestic rivals, Honda, Mazda, and Toyota, they're thinking about performance cars that are either hybrids or electric. As shown at the Japan Mobility Show, where they unveiled the idea for the new Honda Prelude, which is all electric, Mazda Iconic SP, which is going to be a rotary powered car, or I guess a rotary hybrid, so it has like a little 1.3 liter engine with two spinning triangles in it that goes brap 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 brap. Or I guess when you grew up in the 80s, it sounds like a conventional piston engine goes boom boom boom, a Mazda engine goes And the Toyota FTSE, which is a all-electric car. Sure, an all-electric sports car from Toyota. That would be it would look like a mid-engine car that you would find from, I have to kind of contemplate this still, Chevrolet or McLaren or Lamborghini or Ferrari. Unfortunately, it's kind of being looked at with a dose of skepticism, as the author writes, which I can understand because, it's hard to make anything, it's not hard to make anything at a reasonable price point, but if you want it to be, a performance vehicle, it's hard to make it cost so little while also stand out in the class, so stand out against other performance vehicles. That is the hopeful, not very hopeful future for Nissan. Hopefully having an electric car that's cheap, electric sports car that's cheap for my generation, And the generations following. Moving on. Wow, we are just moving right to an electric show. Just going through electric vehicles every day, left and right. Oh, why don't you just get on with it? Stewie, I thought I told you to just go. Like, just let me speak. Well, that was the intro, you fool. Do you like calling people fools? Yes, I mean, it's kind of a trademark, but... kind of. Maybe. A little. Why? It's really freaking annoying, that's why. Ew, but your classmates might find it funny. I don't know. We'll have to see. Oh, if you don't hear laughs, I'm going to throw cream pie in your face. Okay, game on. Let's do this. Alright, moving on into the article after a little non sequitur segue of me having been threatened to throw cream pie in my face. Oh, you knew it's going to happen. Oh, gosh. Alright, let's get on with this. Toyota is hopefully going to have a Ford Maverick fighting electric pickup truck, but unfortunately doesn't have the green light for production yet. But, alas, at least Toyota of North America, at least one executive, is pushing for the truck to go on sale here. Or just to go on sale, I think, period. Because this one, it stuck out from the Japan Mobility Show, because out of all the concepts that they brought, it looked the most like it was particularly close to production. I mean, it's got production, like, tires that you can drive with on the road. It has a windshield, it's got wing mirror, excuse me, it's got side view mirrors, I almost called wing mirrors, because that's what I'm used to hearing a lot from journalists. It's got an interior. I don't know what it has for, like, steering wheel or something. For all I know, it could be a yoke, like a Tesla. But, like, it opens. I'd assume it moves under... okay, yep, no. Okay, so looking at a picture of it, it has a yoke. So, no top half of the steering wheel, and the bottom is flat, so it looks like you have controls from a space shuttle. From a spaceship, like in a sci-fi movie. It was something that the that Toyota's research designs research center in California called Calte Design Research Center had been working on for the past 3 years. But Toyota, so the overall Toyota Motor Co. in Japan, they haven't really given the green light. Although, one executive is at least, like, pushing it to be in production. I mean, the only lingering problem with that is reducing the price to make sure it doesn't cost too similar to the Tacoma, which is their, like, entry-level pickup truck at the moment. That just got a redesign, actually. It got a redesign, I think, this past summer. Which was pretty cool. Anyway, apparently and this was adapted from, or I guess the source of this was Automotive News, which is another, I think they, like, overall, like, dish out articles to some, I think they kind of overall, like, hand these articles out to other, publications. Don't quote me on that, though. I am making this as a statement, not as something that should be taken, as fact. So, the EPU, or electric pickup truck, pickup, is more meant for customers with the utility, looking for the utility of a pickup, but they don't want to do any hardcore off-roading. So it's usually people in cities or more casual drivers of pickup truck instead of ones that would want to go, like, off-roading in, like, I don't know if there's any off-road trails in Maine, but, like, kind of just going through, like, mud, rocks, and, like, just generally bashing around. But they wanted to have enough capability without it being considered a toy. And some other facts. It has an adaptive cargo bed, which is 4.5 feet long in the standard configuration, which is roughly the same as a Ford Maverick. But also, there's a divider that can drop, or that can open into the passenger compartment. That increases it to 6 feet. To increase the bed length to 6 feet, and then with the sacrifice of back seat space, and if you lift the, if you open up the tailgate, and lifting a portion of it, I don't know what that means. Oh, there might be like some flap. Yep. Okay. Nope, that makes sense. There's like a flap that comes up and with like taillights and stuff on it. So you can extend it to 8 feet. I was playing a lot. My grandpa fought in World War II. No, I'm kidding. And it's, they're both, sure, they're both, it's supposed to be a mid-size truck, but it's actually closer in proportion to a Ford Maverick. Funny. Probably because it's supposed to be a competitor. I'm hitting my idea on my desk right now. The dimensions are not all that different within, like, the wheelbase is, I mean, yes, it's, like, 10.8 inches longer in wheelbase, but it's still, like, the dimensions are pretty much the same, despite it being considered a mid-sized truck. Unfortunately, no electric, nothing about the powertrain, the electric powertrain or the battery system, has been revealed, which is unfortunate, because I'd really like to know more about this, and I'm pretty sure listeners would as well. But, unfortunately, no, not at the moment. It was just a concept from the Toyota Mobility Show. What else? What else do I have here? Oh, yes. At the end of February, this is, something that has come up about, geez, can I put my ID down? Stellantis is to reopen the Belvedere factory in Belvedere, Illinois, to build a new mid-sized truck, which I should say, there is a Brazilian, truck, so they, Ram has a market in Brazil, which is essentially, there's rebadged, I think, Fiats, so Fiat utility vehicles, but, it might not be the Ram Rampage, which is sold down in Brazil, which has been caught testing up here in the States. But who knows? It could, they're hoping to, bring, so this, Stellantis wants to reopen the Belvedere factory, where it used to make the Jeep Cherokee, which is the, crossover, like, their small crossover, utility vehicle, which, personally I found to be a pile of poo, but it was affordable and people bought them, so, that also meant that 1,200 workers, yep, 1,200 workers, got laid off with no promise of a future job. Thankfully, the situation has now
Excuse me. So, the situation has improved after Stellantis has reached a new, albeit tentative, agreement with the UAW. UAW's vice president Rich Boyer shared some good news. That was in a statement published on YouTube. UAW family, it is my great honor to announce that we have saved Belvedere again. Again, we have saved Belvedere. We have one new vehicle at Belvedere. It will be a mid-sized truck, and we will have two shifts. And also, Stellantis will create more than 1,000 jobs at a new battery plant in Belvedere. Those who have been laid off are going to receive benefits. They'll be put back on temporary layoff with pay and health care until they are reinstated at their jobs. Woohoo! More jobs! And that's where the factual things go. Show stop, and the speculation begins. As it's unclear what pick up Stellantis means, what sort of pickup Stellantis will be built at Belvedere. And the first thought is the Ram Rampage, the one that I mentioned at the start, but that's already, which is already in production in Brazil at a factory located in Pernambuco. Yeah, butcher that. It has been spotted repeatedly testing on U.S. soil. However, that might not be the same. That might not be the one since Rampage is technically a compact truck. I mean, again, here comes up the Ford Maverick. Like in the other story, the Rampage is meant to be, it's technically within that same sort of vein as the Ford Maverick being a compact truck. Currently, concept and compact are the same word to me. Okay. So, Motor1.com has contacted Ram, but so far they haven't heard anything about that. And there's some speculation that it will be offered as a hybrid or an EV because of the... because of the fact that Belvedere has a mid-sized truck plant coming in, and then a battery plant in Belvedere as well. So for all we know, those two could coincide. It kind of remains to be seen. For all we know, it could sit on the same platform as a Ram 1500. REV, Ram Electric Vehicle, I think. Which sits on the STLA, Large Platform, STLA Platform. Which is one of the four electric-centric platforms built by Stellantis. STLA Large will underpin vehicles varying lengths from 185 to 212.6 inches. The battery will start at 101 and increase to 118 kilowatt hours, which could deliver as much as 500 miles of range on a single charge. Woohoo! Road trip in a Ram Rev. Okay, so that's
really it for, I mean, it is, like, the truck, so the new mid-size truck could, so will be offered with a gasoline engine as well, so they're bringing, so it could be both, so both jobs are going to be combustion vehicle and battery related.
Well, there's been a lot of articles that you did.
Oh, thanks, Stewie. Yeah, I tried to find a lot of them.
Ew, I didn't compliment you. I just said there was a lot of articles. You sounded like poo.
Stewie, that's not very nice. Come on, man. That's not cool.
Oh, to the toilet with your feelings, I don't care. You just sound like a fool anyway. I'm clearly devolving to Mr. Burns. Oh, hello. Hello, Gus.
Stewie, you really didn't have to say my name. I think it was implied that I'm already, like, that I'm the one talking here.
Shut up.
Jeez, Louise, what happened to your, like, what happened to your cereal, or oatmeal? What happened?
Oh, I think you knew what. I think you knew what happened. There wasn't any milk left. There was no Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Why don't you start like Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I don't. Unfortunately. Because I'm a voice from you. And you like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I started liking it too. But I keep on eating it. I just can't stop.
God, Stewie, please shut up so I can do the outro.
Fine, have it your way.
Okay, great. All right, well, that's the podcast, everyone. I'm okay. yeah, the Stewie voice. So Stewie is gone, temporarily. And, yeah. Ba-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na, da-da-da. No. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave a like and comment, and leave a review on the podcast on what you think. And, yes, I should make a note. I did try to do this in higher quality, audio production quality, but due to the nature of the events of last week and just kind of poor timing on my end, and due to some things not being as close to me at the just close to me before, I was not able to record in the studio in the Hildreth Technology Center or Hildreth Science Building. So this is what I'm working with phone and Audacity. So, yes, hope you enjoyed the podcast, and Stickman, and a huge thank you to Stewie for appearing.
What choice did I have?
Yeah, you could have just said thank you.
Fine, thank you.
All right, that's it. Enjoy the podcast.